I know. Well, I was kind of excited. I didn't realize I was actually, I was like, hey, Sean, like, who's preaching Sunday? And so I said, well, I have a word again that the Lord has been really just birthing in my heart. Sean was talking last week. He was talking about the season that we're in, a season of war, and how that we're birthing into a new season, and that God's called us into this place of land, wealth, and souls, and that we're in this transition into wealth and overcoming unto the harvest and souls. And so he was talking about some of the different things that are going on in our life personally, and some of the struggles. And so one of the things that God's been speaking to me specifically through all of this was a word about hope. And so I wanted to share on hope today. The Bible says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And the blood of the Lamb is in reference to Jesus dying on the cross and creating access for us into the nature of God, access that gives us the ability to have our sins washed, but also to give us power. We overcome by what Jesus did because we're able to access the nature of God in our lives. So we can overcome sin. We have the power to overcome trials and situations, and also the word of our testimony. And that was some of the things that Sean talked about. He was talking about how God had reminded him. The word of our testimony is a remembrance of the faithfulness of God in our lives. And as we go through, we're overcoming because God has always been faithful, and he's good. And I love that, and I think it's one of the Chronicles of Narnia, it says it talks about Aslan, which is a sort of a symbol of God. And it says, is he safe? And it says, no, he's not safe, but he's good. And that is the nature of our God. He's not necessarily safe, but he's good, and we can trust in that goodness. And as we move forward in these places of trial to a place of overcoming, it's in remembering his goodness and remembering the things that he's done for us in times past that give us hope for the future. The hope that Jesus, it says that Jesus endured the cross for the hope that was set before him, the joy. Hope is something, it's a place of joyful anticipation of what God's going to do. And so we position ourselves. And so today I want to talk about the posture that we take when we're hoping in God. But this was birthed out of Christmas time, this Christmas. We've been in this long, multiple battles on multiple fronts on different things. And the battles themselves, it's not, I guess I was feeling at Christmas, I was feeling fairly exhausted. And it's not necessarily, I'm kind of okay with trial. My life, even as a child, was filled with trial, and it sort of brings out the best in me. You know, when trouble comes, it's like, all right, I can do this. But I think it was the culmination of just a long season of trial, and then I began to look at different things, and I saw different promises of God in my life that I felt, I guess maybe a level of disappointment, because I was like, God, you know, you've said these things and you're not seeing them come to pass in this epic form. You're not seeing them manifest in a way that in my mind, I wanted them to come forth. And in my mind, when I say that, my mind has this sort of, as I'm living life, I have this epic story running in my head. And so when I'm dealing with the things of God, I'm expecting like epic greatness to be happening like all the time, right? You know, so I'm kind of looking at all of this just hard struggle and this and that and things that I'm looking at and saying, but God, you know, you said this and you said that. And it was like God broke in. It was one morning, and you know how you have multiple things, self-talk going on in your head? Like I'm sitting there talking to you and I've got like five other conversations like going on, right? So I'm sitting there, I've got all these things, I've multiple things running through my mind, but one of them is kind of has this sort of shadow of this disappointment or whatever. And God breaks in and I hear the voice of God. And there's times in life that you're encouraged by God, you have an unction from God, and there's these times that he speaks and you hear him say something that changes everything. And it was this very brief, quick moment in time, and he said, Stephanie, he says, look and see what I'm going to do. Just wait and see what I'm getting ready to do. And it was, what he was beginning to speak was, it's all over scripture. He says, only believe and you'll see the glory of God. eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. So he was just encouraging me with a word of hope. And the Bible says in Hebrews that God is the author of hope. And he spoke into me a hope that said, look to me and see what I'm going to do. And faith is a conviction, but hope is this joyful anticipation. It's expecting with pleasure in your heart, knowing that the goodness of God is going to break through for you. It's that place where you position your heart looking to the horizon. And that's the only way I can describe it, because it's like there's when we're going through life, we have these things, we're sort of, there's two planes of reality. And this is one of the things I wanted to share today, is because there's two realms that you're dealing with. You're dealing with what we call mastering the mundane. You've heard us say that before, and it's very important. And the mundane is that sort of everyday responsibility of life. It's getting married, having kids, being responsible, spending time with Jesus every day, the discipline of the word, those kinds of things. And then there's this, and we live this life sort of in this mundane place, being faithful to that. And then there is this other realm that is this epic realm that is, our life is attached to a story that God is writing. And it's a story that we're only a part of. It's greater than ourselves. It's bigger than ourselves. It lives outside of us, and we get to participate in it. And so there's these two, hold on, I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, so there, and there's this story. So when I'm talking about the trials in life, I'm not talking about I'm not necessarily disappointed with the here and now and this part of this realm. It's looking to the epic story and saying, God, when is it going to happen? And looking to the things and the promises that God has said. And so when I'm talking about hope, there's hope for our everyday life, but there's this hope for something greater that God wants to stir in our hearts. And as we go through trials, it's this hope that purifies us, that gives us that place of overcoming. Because in that hope, we begin to remember the faithfulness of God. We begin to remember who he is, that he's the God that comes down and creates. I want to go to Romans 4. In Romans 4, starting with verse 13, this is beginning to lay the foundation. The father of faith, Abraham, the father of our faith, God promised him that he'd be a father of many nations. And it says, for the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would be heir of the world was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For those who are of the law are heirs. Faith is made void and the promise is nullified. For the law brings about wrath, but where there is no law, there is no violation. Okay, now this is where I want to say. It says, for this reason, it is by faith in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, a father of many nations have I made you. In the presence of him who believed, even God who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. Whoops, sorry. And then here we go. It says, in hope against hope, he believed so that he might become a father of many nations according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. And so what I want us to see here is these two realms we're talking about. Abraham, God was speaking into the epic story realm when he called Abraham the father of many nations. He was speaking into something that was so much greater than Abraham. It affected us. Abraham's life at this time looked very different, okay? He was an old man. He was getting up in the morning. He was eating mutton and lamb stew, right? He had a wife that was old. And apparently, from Scripture, not only were they old, they weren't only unable to have children, they weren't doing anything to be able to have children. They were so old, okay? Like, really old, right? Like, that was his mundane realm, right? I mean, I'm saying for real, like his everyday life didn't reflect. It was this very mundane. He had a wife that probably wasn't that happy. just saying, right? And this was, but I'm saying that was that part of his life. And then God begins to speak into the epic realm. And I keep using this word because this is what God has spoken to us. This promise was so great. He said, you're going to be the father of many nations. And here he was, broken in body, old and frail and in weakness. And God begins to speak the epic story of our life. And in the same way, when we're in these seasons of transition, we need to remember that God is calling forth the destiny in our life, that there's an epic story that he wants to write with our lives. And it's the story goes so far beyond, and it calls us out of our weakness. It doesn't look at the places of the mundane. When I talked last time, when I was talking about judgment, I was saying how God looks at us, and he looks at the potential in us. He's always looked at me with potential. He's never looked at my weakness. And though I've been faithful with the mundane, he's still looking and calling forth that epic story out of that deeper place in the supernatural realm. There's something that's, it's like when we enter in, and that's what I said, we enter in by the blood of the Lamb, by receiving the sacrifice of Christ, we enter into the access to be a part of this great story. We step into a place of power and supernatural. We have power over sin in our lives. We have power over the things that are dead, the brokenness of family and generations. When it says in Isaiah, it says that he's going to restore the desolation of many generations. And that speaks to all of us because all of us are struggling through desolation from the generations that have come before us and those sins and those patterns of life and those places where I remember at times I used to say, God, why? Why did I have to be born into such losers, right? I mean, my life looked like a train wreck in terms of like my grandparents, my parents, my on one side of the family, almost everybody's dead because of sin. I mean, it's like, come on, you know? And you're saying, God, like, this is a train wreck. And he begins to say, but I am the God who creates things. I'm the one that's going to call that isn't as though it were. And it's the hope in who he is and in his goodness and his ability to do this that gives us joy and strength to move forward and to have our eyes set in that place that all of a sudden we look behind us and we see victory. And I look at my life now, and I just shared this with a friend of mine. I was saying that one of my first prophetic words I ever got, and it was in a time that, like I said, my life in some ways looked like a train wreck from just my family line, just the stuff that I was a victim to. And this prophetic guy came into town, and he looked at me, and he said, in the days ahead, he goes, when you're old, he goes, you'll lay upon your bed and you'll marvel at the mercy and grace of God in your life. I mean, and it's a beautiful word, and it was a word that was spoken that had so much hope in it to somebody that couldn't see ahead, and the trials seemed so heavy, and you thought, God, how could this even be? And he spoke hope and said, you're going to look back and you're going to see God was faithful and he was good and that your life was amazing. And now I look back, and I'm almost 50, and I think of the amazing, epic life that God has given me. That place where he took this little orphan, and he brought me into a place of fruitfulness, and a place of family, and a place of doing really cool things for Jesus. But it was the hope that they spoke that brought me forward into that place that I could believe. And in each trial, I kept looking ahead to him. And I would set my eyes on the story, the great epic story that's written. And saying, God, I know that you're going to bring this to pass. And I say this because we need to recognize the difference between our natural, what we live in every day. And not confuse it, that God is bringing a bridge between our everyday faithfulness, which is very important, and it's especially important for those of us that are, I don't know if that's what the right word is, I was going to say charismatics, but I don't know if that's the right word or not, but I'm saying there's people that like to live in sort of this epic realm all the time, and they leave behind mastering the mundane, and you can't leave one without the other. You have to be able to master your everyday life. You have to live where Abraham lived, you know, with the nagging wife, with, you know, taking care of his sheep. I mean, it wasn't super exciting. It wasn't sexy. It wasn't amazing. it wasn't like, oh, wow, he's a part of some epic story. It was pretty boring. It didn't look too spectacular. But in that, God breaks into your mundane and in your faithful responsibility, and he leads you into the path of being a part of his greater story. But if we're not responsible with the mundane, we'll lose the ability to step into the epic story, to the potential that he wants us to. So that's what I'm saying, is it's important. The mundane is very important. It's very important that we recognize that being boring isn't always a bad thing, but it's in the being responsible with the boring that we find ourselves seated in a place that we can participate in the greatness of his story. Touching lives, breaking things where it becomes exponential in our power, because in the faithfulness of the mundane, all of a sudden it creates an opening of obedience that begins to call forth the supernatural into our lives. And then each thing that we do, it's not that 1 + 1 = 2, it's 1 + 1 = a billion. And all of a sudden, the supernatural sets in and begins to move forward and change things in our life. And it doesn't happen, it's a suddenly thing. All of a sudden, you look back and you think, oh my gosh, God has done so many amazing things in my life. And we were recalling those stories even here with the land when we were talking, you know, that God had spoken to us that he was going to give us land, and we were so excited, and we're looking for 5 acres, 10 acres. I think the biggest we looked at was 20, and we thought we were really believing big. You know, we were going for the dream. But it was the faithfulness in those small steps. It was the faithfulness in those early days that all of a sudden, God suddenly opens this door that's amazing. And then now we are living in it, and we're occupying the land that God's given us. And it's the faithfulness of this mundane life of every day, of becoming a healthy family, of becoming a good husband, a good wife, you know, becoming a husband, becoming, you know, being obedient children. Those things that don't always seem so exciting. Obedience isn't always like, woo, right? It's true. I'm saying it's really true. But it's in those things that all of a sudden, supernaturally, you're setting yourself up for the power of God to move and to cause great and amazing things to happen. And so as we turn the leaf of one amazing thing, God is preparing us to turn the leaf into the next season. And he's calling us forth into a place of hope. And he's saying, look to me. Look and see what I'm going to do. Keep your eyes set on the one who's the creator, the one that can do all things, that he can create out of nothing. And when we see lack in our lives, wherever you are in your life, if you'll set your eyes to him and hope with great expectancy, because he's a good God, he's better than you think. He's greater than you think. He's more powerful than you think. And don't get distracted with all the places, the mundane, that seem disappointing, that seem they're not what you want. And sometimes there's struggle, they're painful, there's injustice, there's different things like that. Don't be distracted by those things. You just keep taking a step by step forward. And the next thing you know, you look back and you see the amazing life that God has planted. And that's the story of my life. It's like, it's just one step forward. One step of obedience. And sometimes, you know what? Sometimes they were very weak steps. And sometimes I didn't even make them. I failed. But God kept calling me forward into that place of potential. And now I can look back and I see just crazy, amazing stuff. Lives that have been touched. And, you know, we go back and we look at all of our pictures that Steve has, his huge repertoire of all of our history and archives of pictures from when we started out as youth pastors, and to see all of the lives touch and the different events that we did. And it's just amazing. It's amazing to see what God will do in our lives. Okay, so I want to go back to this, and it says, I love this, where it says, even God who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. And so I want to speak that again, because I want to tell you there's places in your life that seem dead, that seem irreparable. There's places that you just think, how could this ever change? And God is speaking to you today and saying, have hope. Hope in me, just like Abraham went before us. And he hoped against hope. It didn't even make sense for him to hope. The mundane screamed so loud in his life. He didn't have the ability to do what God was promising him. It was so far out of the grid. But he hoped in God. He had a joyful expectancy that this God that promised was going to be able to produce that which he promised. And in your life today, God has made a promise to you, and he is going to produce that which he's promised. And so he's calling us into this place of hope, great hope in our hearts and in our lives, that he can change those things that look so immovable, so unchangeable. He's saying, look and see what I'm going to do. Only believe and you'll see the glory of God. You've not seen or heard. It's not even entered into your heart what I am going to do for you. It's going to blow your mind. And it's not going to be about personal gain and wealth and different things. It's going to be about building an epic story for his kingdom of redemption, of making wrong things right, of restoring the desolation of generations and bringing you out of that place of brokenness and darkness into a place of glory and light and hope and freedom and liberty for you, and not only you, but for your children. So many of us in here are believing for our children. We're believing that God's going to do something amazing in them. And he's saying, hope, watch and see what I will do. Watch and see. Nothing is too short for my hand. I have made a promise, and I will deliver. And just like he promised Abraham, and it didn't look like it was going to happen, he's made a promise to you, and he's saying, hope in me, hope in me. And I'm calling you out today into that place of hope, expecting that he's good and that he will deliver. And in that hope, as we dig into that place and say, God, my eyes are set on you and I'm not turning, it purifies us and it gives us strength in our deepest place. He pours hope into our heart, and then it strengthens us to be able to step forward and believe him even more. I'm going to move ahead, but I want to read this just because I love this. So it says, in one of the translations, against all hope, in hope, Abraham believed. In hope, against hope, he believed so that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. I mean, guys, this was beyond, like, hope here, right? That's what I'm saying. He hoped against hope. Like, there was nothing happening. There was no, like, it was gone. It was done. And he believed God. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Therefore, it was also accredited to him as righteousness. And that is the Father that went before us. And that is the model that God has given us. And we are sons and daughters of Abraham because of what Jesus did, because of the promise being fulfilled. And so in the same manner that Abraham believed, we can also now believe and receive that hope and that righteousness of God. Now let's move forward to Romans 8. Romans 8:18, it says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of creation waits eagerly for the revealing of sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now, and not only this, but also we ourselves have having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemptions of our body. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. So it's this posture that we come into, and I love this when it talks about, this makes me laugh because it talks about the groaning of creation. And you know, when we're in that place of hope, it feels that, you feel that groaning. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm actually a verbal processor. And so, like I was saying, I've got all these multiple scenarios going on in my head. And when I'm in this place of like receiving hope and I'm like looking at all my circumstances, hopefully I'm by myself, but sometimes I'm not. I think I was in the car with Emily and I'm like, I'm sitting there driving. I'm like, ah! And she's like, are you okay? And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm like verbally processing my stress here. You know, you just have to like, ah! So when it's talking about these groanings that can't be uttered, I literally groan just processing, you know, like processing stress. But in the same time, I also like, so I have this sort of altar like plane that I'm operating on, because it's in that place of groaning that I'm actually connecting this supernatural epic story to where I am right at that moment. And so I'm in the mundane, walking through the stress, wondering if somebody's fed the cows and thinking, what have I gotten myself into? And then I'm like, ah! And I'm receiving the power of God to know that I can trust and obey, that I can only believe. And then I'll break out into a hymn, only believe, only believe. All things are possible if we only believe. Okay, that's Southern Baptist, but that's where I come from. And those are the places I go to when I'm stressed out. I begin to sing to myself, and I begin to sing in the Spirit and sing to the Lord, and I release it, and I make the connection between what I'm doing and the struggles that I'm in to the epic story. And then, you know, it gets even bigger, because then all of a sudden my mind goes to these like flashes of movie flicks, and I'm like, that's me like standing there. Like one of the ones I love is like, I think it's Raiders of the Lost Ark. This goes way back, but I see this scene all the time. You know, when they're standing there at the ark and like all these things are being released, I don't even know the whole story. It's so long ago. Like I've not even seen it, but they're standing there like these demons and everything's around them. And they're like, and I'm like, I see myself like that. Like, that's okay. I'm going to stand. When I've done all, I'll stand. And I'm seeing these things like flash around me. And it's my epic story that I'm a part of. Like God's like, yeah, we're going to have victory. So when we see these stories, you know, Braveheart, all these things, I'm like, yeah, it's me in the Spirit. I'm walking around, like really BA, you know, I love it. But it's in these moments in time when I'm seeing this kind of come to pass, that these things are flashing, and I'm like, we can do this. You know, we'll stand in the midst of it. And you see Helm's Deep and everything coming against it and all hell breaking against it. And there's times in my life that I'm looking around and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, like all hell is coming against us. Like, will we stand? This is crazy. And then you set your eyes to the hill with hope. And all of a sudden, right, Gandalf comes riding over the hill at the last moment, breaks through with the light, okay? It's an epic story. He's riding for your life. Okay, we got to enter into this. It is greatness that God is speaking forward, and he's saying, come and touch my story. Be a part of something so much greater than yourself, and you won't even believe what I'm going to do. It's going to be so amazing. And so I just speak that hope into you today and invite you into that place. It's a place of destiny to step into it. And even if we have to step and scream, I get it. You know, like I said, I get it. Like there's a groaning in our spirit as we're birthing forth this epic story with God. There's a groaning that comes forth out of that. And we just keep moving. You just keep taking another step forward and not be distracted by the mountains that seem immovable. Because you can set your eyes to the hills and know that that's where your help's coming from. It's the God of the heavens and the earth, the one that spoke and all things were created. He has a story for your life that he's writing. And he's saying, look to me, trust in me. And that's how Sean ended his message last time. He said, raise your flag of hope. He was talking about trusting in Jesus, trusting in God. And God is saying, raise the flag of hope. I am the author of hope. Let me speak to you and speak a word of life and say that these things are going to come to pass. You can trust in me. I have good things planned for you. And it's going to be bigger and greater than you can think or imagine. I read a story about a girl, a young girl that lost her husband. It was a young couple. They had three little kids, and her husband was 30 and had a heart attack and died. And so she's telling this story, and she was saying in it, she said, you know, she just kept saying, but God, I know you're good, and I don't understand this, you know. And that's, and anybody that's gone through tragedy, you don't, it's hard. And she said, when I stopped asking why, and I began to say, God, what is it? All of a sudden, things in her life began to change. And I share that because when we're in the story, God's writing it. And we don't always understand the chapters, and we don't understand the why of how he's written it. But if we'll look and say, God, what is it that you're wanting my part to be? And that we begin to submit to the author and trust that he is good. And that no matter what the characters are at the time and the pieces of the story that just, like I said, sometimes look like it's not a good story. But the end hasn't come yet. And you're a part of something greater than yourself. The story's not all about you. He's not writing. He's bringing you into his story. And he knows. He's the author. So he knows how to write it. He knows how to place you in it. And he knows where the end goal is going to be. And what your place in that is going to be. And so we can walk in and we can trust that he is the great God. The author of our faith. The finisher of our faith. We can step into that place of trust. Okay. I want to go, and just before I end, I want to read one of the great men of God of hope is David in the Bible. I love David. And let's see. In Psalm 33, it says, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope for his loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our hearts rejoice in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us according as we have hoped in you. Oh, Jesus. And then I love this one. This is the one that always comes to us. It says, why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. O my God, my soul is in despair within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of the Jordan, the peaks of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have rolled over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and his song will be with me in the night. A prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As a shattering of my bones, my adversaries revile me while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you in despair, O my soul, and why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. He is faithful. He's faithful. And so I leave you with this today, hope in God. He has an epic story that he's writing for you. And you can trust in his goodness.
I want to say, can we give God a big clap for this word? We got to give God a big clap. This is what we need to hear in our spirit. The Lord was showing me there are people that's coming, things come down the pike, new things, new thoughts. And one of the things that's coming down the pike is too much talk about what Satan did and what he can do. Let me tell you something. We have the power to step on the head of the serpent. That's what it says in Luke 17, 19. This is what we need. We need to realize God does want us to lift that hope that she talked about. That was a prophetic word, and we need to hear it. We need to hope in the Lord and realize we don't have to worry about what the enemy's doing. We need to know what God's doing and focus our eyes on God, for we have the power. We have the power to step on the earth. As he was in us, is greater than he was in the world. And I just want to give God a big clap for this word. Amen.
As we worship, I want us to set our eyes into that place of rejoicing, because I think it's important that we don't go into it just a place of worshiping from this low place, because God is calling us up into a high place, and he's calling us up, he's calling us out into that place of the epic, up to the awesomeness and greatness of who he is. And so I want to take a few moments to set our eyes on that greatness. Meditate, but on that greatness. Not in a place of sorrow and thanking him that his presence is there, oh, but saying, no, God, you are so great and so powerful and so mighty. And I want to enter into that place with you. I thank you, the author of hope, pour into me the hope of my salvation. And let's remember anew the greatness of God and the kisses that he bestowed upon us when he brought him into ourselves, when he brought me into his breast and said, you're mine. He called me and he brought me out of the muck and mire and he drew me to himself. He's drawn you to himself. Let's remember who this God is. The one that we can rest in and know that he has everything under control. Oh. At every moment, at all times. He's a great God.
Oh, yeah.